And welcome to Philadelphia Focus. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today, well, it's Philabundance Day here. And with us, we have the Director of Communications, Stephanie Ark Baines. And we also have with us one of the board members, John Hallway. He is, you're an associate dean or the assistant dean?
I'm an associate dean at Penn Law.
And you're a board member now for Philabundance. And let's get this conversation started because you almost brought me to tears before the show began when you told me how you got involved.
It's funny. I got involved because of a conversation like this. I was in my car near the art museum listening to the radio, and an interview came on with Philabundance, in which they said that there were 750,000 people in the Delaware Valley who don't get enough to eat on a daily basis. And I mean, you know, you look around at the art museum and the apartments and the condos, and you think about how much we have in this area, and you think, how can there possibly be 1 million people within a 10-mile radius that aren't getting enough to eat? And so I went home and I got online, and Philabundance has such a brand that it has built over the last 3 decades that it was the first place I looked at, and I just really wanted to be involved, and that led to my joining the board. And so thank you for doing what you do, because it really does reach people and it really does make a difference.
But then, you know, now let's talk about hunger in the Delaware Valley, because, you know, you can be standing there at the art museum surrounded by those beautiful townhouses and apartments, and yet hunger could be in that building. You just don't know.
In fact, in the country, the average is 1 in 9 people face hunger. In Philadelphia itself, it's 1 in 5. So if you're at the art museum, it's likely that if you turn your head one way and turn your head the other way, that somebody hasn't had breakfast that morning, hasn't had lunch. They go to bed hungry at night, not knowing where their next meal is coming from or if they're going to have one at all.
And that's what we really talk about when we say hunger. It's not knowing where your next meal will come from.
That's correct. And it's not having enough access to healthy food on a regular basis.
Again, those glittering buildings hide some weird facts that most of us are really one paycheck away from a food emergency. And let's talk a little bit about what can affect somebody where they end up looking for assistance.
I think a misconception, and I really appreciate you bringing this up, Laura, because there are so many misconceptions about hunger, but Philabundance serves 90,000 people each week, a third of whom are children and 16% of whom are seniors. In the past year, of those we serve, 50% of the households served, somebody has had a job in the past year. And so when we talk about emergencies, a lot of times we're looking at people losing their jobs. Health emergencies is something that often will have people coming to look for food. Deaths, divorces. I mean, last year's government shutdown was a really terrible event, but it really opened people's eyes to the need for assistance, because a lot of people live paycheck to paycheck. And when you miss one paycheck, it throws everything else out of whack. And then all of a sudden people have to make a decision. Am I going to heat or am I going to eat? Am I going to pay for medication or am I going to feed my family today? And, you know, food is a human right. It's a necessity. And that's what Philabundance and our partners are here for. We're here to help people through emergency situations, whether they're temporary or they're a little bit longer term.
Well, talk about some of those partnerships, too, because you're not a standalone organization. You're like that old commercial. You don't make the music. You make the tape sound better, you know, that kind of a thing. Talk about what the heck is Philabundance?
Well, Philabundance is a hunger relief organization. And the way that we get food out to the community is through 350 social service agencies. They could be pantries. They could be emergency kitchens. We even work with libraries. We work with hospitals like Einstein. And we get our food to those agencies, and the agencies distribute them to the people in their community. Each agency really is attuned to its own community's needs. And so they can determine what kind of food they need, how much food they need, when they need it. And so really the 350 agencies with which we work, they are the lifeline of the food system in this area.
But we also have a real grassroots supporters and volunteers who come and enable everything we do. I mean, we're moving almost 25 million pounds a year of food, and that requires thousands of volunteers. So we have 17,000 volunteers who work for us, gleaning produce to make sure that the best food is getting out there, boxing things to transport food from one place to another so that we're able to provide balanced meals. You know, I mean, it's important to note that we're in the fighting hunger business, but we're also in the dignity business. And the volunteers help us make sure that the food that we're transporting from one place to another is done so in ways that convey that the hardworking people and the people that are scrapping to figure out where their next meal is going to come from have the balanced diets that they need to be able to then build that foundation and go on and move forward.
You said the G word, glean. Let's talk about food in the Delaware Valley, because we're really in a great place because of our proximity to the harbor. What do you call that?
The port.
Thank you. I knew that word. We have food coming in here, but where does Philabundance get its food?
So you hit the nail on the head. The port is a very large provider of food for us. We also work very closely with the Philadelphia Wholesale Produce Market, which is down by the airport. John mentioned that we glean. That's where we glean a lot of produce. And really, we are going through food that they might not be able to sell or they have too much of, and we are taking it back to serve people in need. We also get food from manufacturers. We also get food from corporations, from big food drives, such as there's this little one called Camp Out for Hunger you might be familiar with. That actually brought in 1.8 million pounds of food last year. So food drives, community events, and money. A lot of what we need, we talk about our most needed items around the holidays, and that includes vegetable oil, peanut butter, tuna fish, vegetables that are in water, items that are maybe too expensive for some families to buy, but high in nutrition. So cash is king. We can take people's cash and we can buy it wholesale and we can buy more. So those are all the different ways that we get food in.
We should go over that list of what you're actually looking for. Do you want to do it now or do it later?
Sure, now's as good a time as
go
ever.
Go for it. What do you really need? And obviously, again, cash is king, but it's kind of hard to shake that can and you walk around and say, give me money, give me, give. You know, food drives are an easy way to get a community involved and get them involved to begin with. So what are you looking for when you see those signs and say it's time?
So I'd be remiss if I didn't at least talk about the cash for 1 minute. And I just wanted to give a visual for people. So let's say that you go to the grocery store and you buy a jar of peanut butter. And that jar of peanut butter, let's say it's $3. Now, if you gave us that money instead, we could buy 3 jars of peanut butter for that one jar, for the cash that it would cost to buy 1 jar of peanut butter. So I just wanted to put that in people's heads. And it's not that we're not grateful for the food. We mm-hmm. are. But with cash, we can buy what our communities need when they need it. So cash is number one, which people can always donate at philabundance.org. But when you're looking at most needed items, what we love to see come in through food drives, like I mentioned, healthy food, food that's rich in protein, things that families, if they're on a tight budget, they might skip. So peanut butter's high on that list. Cooking oil. I mean, it makes so much sense when you think about it, but you can't cook without cooking oil and it's expensive. So that's an item we look for. Beans are a great one. Protein rich, make a lot of things with beans. Canned vegetables in water, canned fruit in water. If we can help it, we don't want fruit that's been sitting in corn syrup because it makes it less healthy. It takes the nutrition out of it. There are other items that you can also find on our website. That's our top 10 most needed items list. Some things that we don't want to take or we have stopped taking. We get that it's Thanksgiving and that everybody has cranberry sauce and green beans. We see a lot of holiday items after the fact. Green beans are totally fine. I know most children probably could not see another can of green beans after Thanksgiving for a while, but it's okay. It's healthy. Cranberry sauce, eggnog, stuffing. We don't really need holiday items because, like you, the families who we serve, they're not eating those things after the holidays. So stick to the top 10 most needed items when you can. Tuna is another great one. Inexpensive, high in protein. There are a lot of things that you can do with it.
Canned soups. What are you looking for?
Canned soups and stews. So we want things, if we can, that have meat in them, make them higher in protein, lower in sodium if possible. Canned chilies are fantastic. I would say just look at the ingredients. And if it's not something that you wouldn't want to feed your family, maybe skip over that and find something a little bit healthier.
I'm surprised that most people don't realize that food is good a lot longer than we accept. We waste so much food in this country. It's absolutely obscene. What is like 30% of our food is going into the landfills?
40% of
food. 40%. Thank you. Make me even happier today. So we're looking at this, and let's talk again about gleaning and rescuing and Philabundance, and you, as a distributor of this too, because talk about bananas and peaches in Georgia, you know?
We actually see a lot from the port or from the produce market when there is an overabundance of items. And so we will often get in, let's say, 200,000 pounds of bananas at one time. Even if there is an overabundance of food like that, we can still distribute it with our partners. There are other Feeding America food banks. We're a Feeding America food bank. It's the organization of top performing food banks in the country. Some of the local food banks include the Food Bank of South Jersey, Food Bank of Delaware. We also work very closely with the Chester County Food Bank. And if we can't metabolize all of those items, we can spread them out. We can share them with the other food banks, and they do the same with us. A lot of this food that we're seeing, the overabundance of bananas, we see those because stores or manufacturers can't sell them. They just can't metabolize that much, and so they end up giving it to us. So what we often refer to as food waste is really just excess food. It's perfectly good food that just wouldn't get sold, or there's too much of it in the market. And so we make that available to our clients. Might be a day past its prime. No worries. We can take it. We'll distribute it to our clients. They'll make it into banana bread instead.
And again, it can be a truck that just didn't make it to the warehouse by closing time. And the next day, it's considered waste.
That's why it's so fortunate that we're that close to the port, because the port often sees product that couldn't make it because of a storm. And then it makes its way to Philabundance, and it makes its way to people in need.
And you're able to negotiate. You're on the grocery store kind of model, aren't you? It seems like if you've got an excess, you swap and trade with other Feeding America organizations. So if you've got bananas and Georgia has peaches, you can actually swap among yourselves and get food distributed to other communities.
There is actually an organization. This might be a little too in the weeds, but it's called the Mid-Atlantic Resource Center. It operates out of the Philadelphia Wholesale Produce Market. And what they do is they take excess food, they mix it up. It's called the MARC. They mix it up, and then they distribute it among other Mid-Atlantic food banks. It's a really amazing resource, and it helps diversify what our clients get. Because if you think about it, you don't want bananas every day for two meals a day, and our clients don't want that either. So this resource really makes it such that we can provide more balanced meals to the community.
If you are just joining us, this is Philadelphia Focus. I'm Laura Lewis, and today we are talking about Philabundance. And if you would like more information, the place to go, philabundance.org. At that site, you'll find out ways that you can help, whether through volunteering, as John alluded to, and we are really going to talk about that in a couple of minutes. You can find that top 10 list of things that they are looking for, and you can make that cash donation that Stephanie pointed out really makes the bang go a lot louder. Really, cash is truly king. But there are so many ways in which you can help, and you can learn more about their amazing programming, because we have to talk about the community kitchens in just a moment, too. My guest today, John Hallway, he is Associate Dean and the Executive Director of the Quattrone Center, right, at Penn Law.
That's right.
And also Stephanie Ark-Baines, she is the Director of Communications for Philabundance, philabundance.org. Let's really quickly touch upon the Philabundance Community Kitchen Program and your work to help people raise themselves up.
Philabundance Community Kitchen is a 14-week culinary arts and life skills training program that we make available to adults with low to no income, many of whom are formerly incarcerated, many of whom didn't graduate from high school, all of whom are looking for a second chance at life. The program actually is going to be relocated from its current location at a city shelter to a new building that we are currently in the process of building and should be ready in summer of 2020. We're all really excited. And at that point, the program will extend to 16 weeks, and we'll be able to double the number of students for whom we provide hope and a second chance at life.
And talk about the program itself. And you're getting a new building? I remember when you opened the big one now and how everybody was so thrilled with the storage space and the office space, et cetera.
The building that that we're building for PCK is really very exciting. It's going to be at 10th and Susquehanna. It's in the middle of an empowerment zone just north of Temple. And in a partnership with the city, partnership with the state, and a number of nonprofit foundations and funders, we've been able to create this new building. What PCK has done over the 15 or 18 years that it's been in existence has really been remarkable. And if you compare it to other programs in the country, what you see are the rates of continued employment from PCK graduates are more than twice the national average for programs like this. So we're not just helping people get a second chance, we're really sustaining that commitment and making sure that over the long term, they're actually building careers in the food service business in different ways. One of those ways is actually to learn catering skills. And so one of the things that the new building will give us is actually an ability to cook and make and package more of our own food. So the life skills that we're training can turn directly into a catering business that can then generate more revenue to funnel back into Philabundance's programs while also building deeper ties in the North Philadelphia community.
You know, you just mentioned something, though, and we're going totally off topic. Cheese. We were talking. Glenn was in the last time, your executive director. Glenn Bergman was in, and he was talking about another one of your efforts was when you had excess dairy, you had a partnership to make cheese and sell it with a percentage going to Philabundance. How did that go?
You must be reading my mind because I was thinking about that and how it's a really good time to talk about this, because with the holidays coming up, going to visit family, and people being so interested and socially conscious and giving back, our Abundantly Good line of cheeses and tomato jam, it tastes great and it does great work by giving back to the community. So as you mentioned, Abundantly Good was started. There was a bunch of excess dairy milk, and due to regulations, the dairy farmers would have had to throw it away. Instead, bunch of really smart people got together and said, what if we rescued that cheese? And we have the Lancaster dairy farmers, instead of tossing it out, making it into cheese. And then we could sell this cheese, or we could give this cheese away. And there was the idea behind Abundantly Good. So Abundantly Good actually has a bunch of different varieties. You can now buy it in the store, retailers like DeBruno Brothers. And a dollar from every purchase of Abundantly Good goes back to those Lancaster farmers to make cheese that they then give to us to distribute for free. So it's a triple bottom line for people, planet, and profit. So you're eating well and you're doing good at the same time.
And the producers don't lose out on this. This is wonderful.
Well,
it's circle there.
That is the other part that makes us feel so good. Everyone here is in the news all the time about dairy farmers who are really struggling. This helps them find a new profit center, generates revenue for them. And so it's only going to be as successful as the sales are. So please, anyone going to a family function and you want to bring something with you, consider bringing the Abundantly Good line. And you can even tell people that while they're enjoying this food, they're helping feed people in need.
And you said there's a tomato jam, because I know Glenn was looking for a way to unload tomatoes.
Tomato
paste.
There is. It's a TBJ Gourmet tomato jam, and it's delicious, and it pairs really nicely with the cheese. That's also for sale places like DeBruno Brothers, Weaver's Way Co-op, and you can find out more places if you visit our website.
And it's called again?
It's called Abundantly Good.
Okay. Now, let's get back. That is true gleaning. That is the picture of gleaning. But now let's get back to the PCK, the kitchen programming. You've got a lot of graduates, and they are doing twice as well as the rest. When they walk out the door, what kind of skills do they have? Who wants to employ them?
We hear from our graduates very often that the culinary skills are incredibly helpful to get a job. But I will tell you that the thing that they are most grateful for are the life skills. Because what they learn, we say, from knife skills to life skills. So yes, knife skills are important. Getting your SurfSave certification is important, and it's expensive. I do want to add that all of our students go through the program for free, thanks to our generous donors. But the thing that we hear most from the graduates that helps them the most is the life skills, the how to get along with people in the kitchen, because kitchens are hot. There are usually a lot of people. People are vying for different positions. Learning how to work with others, learning your conflict resolution skills, learning how to hold an interview. Those things are all pivotal in getting a job and keeping a job. So a lot of our graduates state that they're really grateful for the life skills portion of the program. As far as culinary skills, yes, absolutely. Our graduates are really well prepared when they go out into the workforce, and they've gotten jobs with places like, I don't know, a little James Beard awardee called Zahav, Fork, the Moosheloo, Pod. We have graduates going to all different kinds of places with all different types of cuisine. And we are still looking for employers who are interested in working with Philabundance Community Kitchen. Chicky and Pete's actually is a really big employer of PCK graduates. And they hired 3, I believe, from the last class. So we have tons of great testimonials from employers who can talk about the work ethic and the integrity that they have seen from our graduates. And if anyone wants to look to hire a PCK graduate, they can, again, go to our website, philabundance.org, check out the community kitchen link to learn more.
You just mentioned life skills that, you know, working with others and job interview, et cetera, conflict resolution, all that. You had a new program the last time you were in. We were talking about it briefly, Ending Hunger for Good. How is that going?
Well, for 35 years, Philabundance has been Ending Hunger Now, which is really important because, as John mentioned, we're talking about almost 750,000 people who are facing hunger in our area. And that's great, but that's not shortening the line. And so what we have undertaken in the past couple years, we will both relieve hunger now, but we're also working to end hunger for good. And the only way that we can do that is by partnering with other organizations who are serving the same population, but they're serving them through other skills. And so what we started to create last year is a pilot program where we would provide food plus. So yes, we're providing food, but more importantly than that, we're working with others whose missions might be a little bit different, like Habitat for Humanity, for instance, and we're also working to find them housing, and we're also helping hone their financial literacy skills. Because without skills like that, yes, you cannot be hungry today, but we really want to provide skills that are going to be sustainable so that somebody can stave off hunger and homelessness and, you know, any other issues that they're having, really getting to the root causes of poverty to help raise them up.
You're trying to put yourself out of business.
Absolutely. That's what Glenn always says. And people think it's counterintuitive, but that's why we do what we do. We don't want people to be hungry. And if the end game were that Philabundance didn't need to exist anymore, great.
That would be
wonderful.
But unfortunately, let's go back to some statistics again and how Philabundance helps and how we can help Philabundance. I'm going to give you the 3-minute warning here.
So one of the statistics that always affects me, and, you know, we talked about the PCK graduates and the restaurants that they work in. Those restaurants aren't just in the city. They work at restaurants in the suburbs. And Philabundance actually serves 5 other counties in Pennsylvania and 4 counties in South New Jersey. It's truly the Delaware Valley. And every zip code in the Delaware Valley has people who don't get enough to eat on a daily basis. So you may think, oh, that's just happening in the inner city. The answer to that is no, that's not true. It's happening in your community and it's happening every day. And so when I think about statistics, the breadth of the what's happening is as important as the size of it. The fact that it's affecting all of our communities and there are people, you know, attending the same schools as our kids who don't get enough to eat and may particularly not get enough to eat in the summer when those schools are closed. And a school lunch program has closed along with it. And a lot of what we do as far as these partnerships is to partner with camps or athletic organizations or other things to ensure that there is healthy food for those children to eat during the summer months as well.
Let me interject here and ask now, because we do have that little event that our sister, WMMR, puts on every year, Preston and Steve's Camp Out for Hunger. It ended up with, by the time you rolled up the cash and the pounds, 2 million meals. 1.8 million pounds sounds like a heck of a lot. How much do you need in the course of a year? Do you have a number there?
About 26 million pounds is what we distribute now, but we need more than that. I mean, there are people who are still going hungry despite how much food is available. And another way that people can get involved, especially if you feel like money is tight this time of year, or you just want to fight hunger by using your voice, sign up for our advocacy alerts. SNAP, formerly known as food stamps, is under attack right now and pretty consistently. SNAP is a lifeline to people who don't have enough to eat. We don't need SNAP to be maintained. We need SNAP to be increased. That's not even on the table right now. We just need people to help us fight a decrease in SNAP. So you can write to your legislators. There are sign-on letters. Take you 5 minutes just to log on or to call someone and tell them don't cut SNAP. Because the people who are suffering right now, they'll be suffering more and there will be more of them if we can't keep SNAP at the levels where it is. So, you know, depending on how that goes, we could use more food, but we always need more food, to be honest with you. So considering a donation, maybe you could make yourself a $10 donor every month and just sustain through the year. Because as John mentioned, summer is a really bad time for hunger for the 400,000 children in our 9-county service area who rely on school meals. But people don't think about hunger during the summer. So everyone suffers during the summer and every other time of year, unfortunately.
Well, let's just jump in here and point out, too, that SNAP benefits those dairy farmers and the farmers and the middlemen because the recipients don't eat those SNAP dollars. They go back into the stores and the food producers.
That's absolutely right. I mean, you think about grocers. You think about your local store manager. You think about the places where the SNAP money is spent. They all suffer when SNAP drops. And so, you know, please take a few minutes and support SNAP. It's really important.
John?
I couldn't agree more. But I think, as Stephanie has said, even with SNAP at its current levels, we're seeing the levels of hunger that we have in the Delaware Valley. So, you know, we're distributing 26 million pounds a year. I think the capacity would be there for twice that over time. And that's if SNAP doesn't get decreased. And to me, you know, what's so wonderful about Philabundance as an organization has been the grassroots support. The communities help us with food. The volunteers help us distribute it. The food banks in each locality ensure that the right food gets to the people who need it the most. And that logistics is exactly what we want our communities to do. We want them to band together to support those of us at times when we're vulnerable. And there's lots of ways to do it. You know, the Ending Hunger for Good campaign that we're starting is because we're realizing that we're kind of tired of just fighting hunger to a draw. You know, we're going to keep at it. We're not going to give up. But the additional help that we can get, and the holiday time, the spirit of giving is great for people being motivated to give that little bit extra. But hunger doesn't just come at the holidays. It's year round. And so we're incredibly grateful for all of the support and the whole infrastructure. But it is constantly something that we have to keep up, and there's always lots more to do.
And, of course, we can find ways to get involved and to help. And you do that at philabundance.org. You'll learn everything from how your business, like DeBruno or Acme, that has been an amazing partner for Camp Out these years. They do wonders. Your business can get involved. Just go to, can be a part of that program. I love that line, fighting hunger to a draw. That isn't good enough. You're right. And find out ways that your business, like DeBruno or Acme, that has been an amazing partner for Camp Out these years. They do wonders. Your business can get involved. Just go to philabundance.org. You'll learn more about everything from how to host and what to give at a food drive, how to volunteer throughout the year, and best of all, how to donate cash, because cash is king. philabundance.org. My guests today have been the Director of Communications, Stephanie Arc-Baines, and John Hallway, who is on the board now. How many years?
6 years.
6 years now on the board for Philabundance. He is, of course, at the University of Pennsylvania Law School, UPenn. And thank you both for coming in today.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks. This has been great.
I'm Laura Lewis. This has been Philadelphia Focus.